keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk.
Church, I am your host, Evangelist Falana, a.k.a. Bonafide Talk, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. But before we get started, let's open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer, okay? So let's clear all hearts and minds. Dear God, we come to you now. We are bowing our heads to you at the throne of grace. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your blessings, even those tough love blessings that you send our way, dear God, to discipline us, because we know that you chastise us only because you love us. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message coming from tonight's radio broadcast. It is all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes. Glory be to God. Family, we're going into a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
All right. Welcome back, guys. You are listening to the live broadcast of Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. It is now time to present our featured guest, author of Celibacy, What Was I Thinking, and nationally known Christian comedian. Let's give it up for Trinea Prosser, a.k.a. Mrs. T. Hey!
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Miss T is in the house, huh?
I said, y'all going to make me blush, keep clapping like that.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, but you know, I'm deacon watching, so you know, I'm checking out the brothers. Just saying, I'm just checking them out. I ain't taking nobody home. I'm just checking them out. That's all. Just looking.
Did Cletus show up? Is Cletus in? Can you see him?
Cletus could be in the audience, but we may.
You're cutting up all right. Well, Cletus, we're getting ready to give you a shout out. Hey, baby, what's going on, Cletus?
Hey, what's up, Cletus?
Hey, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us tonight will also be panelist and relationships expert, Miss Robin Mandler. Robin, welcome to the show, honey.
can't see me, but I'm taking a bow off all those applause.
I tell you, Robin, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I am so good. Excited about the show today.
I know that's right. Ladies, we're going to go ahead and get it started in very short order. But ladies and gentlemen, Bonafide Talk family, in addition to being the author of this wonderful book, you've got to get it, Celibacy, What I Was Thinking. What was I thinking? Miss T is a well-known comic. Here's one of her clips now. She's entitled Heaven.
Because I know I got to go. Just like this pastor was telling his kids about heaven, you know, and so he got me talking to the children. I know it wasn't you, Rebel, so don't worry about it. They were cheering about heaven. They were so excited. He said, where do you want to go? And this little girl said, heaven. He said, what do you have to do to get there? The little boy said, be 6 feet under.
You couldn't get mad at him. He was right. I am done. Oh, I am done. You know, Trinea, clearly it is a God-given talent that you have for comedy, amongst a zillion other things that you do. But I want to tap into your comedy talent. What inspired you to go into Christian comedy, and when did God give you the green light to go in that direction?
Well, I started in it accidentally because I was also well-known for emceeing gospel programs. And so that's how my popularity here got started. I was always invited, and I would come, and then I was on television. I hosted a Sunday soiree, and that aired for like 3 years on our public access television station. So people were always seeing me in front of people and, you know, emceeing, but I would also be telling the stories that I knew to be true that I've seen in churches, you know, with all the different auxiliaries. And so as I would when these programs would end, people would come to me and tell me how much they enjoyed hearing the stories and how much they really enjoyed me. It wasn't like they paid attention to the musical. They were just there for me and how they hadn't laughed in a long time or laughed that good and felt good and all of that. And so I decided, well, you know what, I better go on, and before I lose these stories, I better put them down on a recording. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to be the first comedian to have material that could be aired on television, on radio, that would not have to be bleeped? That would be a great idea. So in 2008, God said, go ahead, do it. So we did it, and I prepared it for radio specifically and for the store shelves. And now those storefronts have disappeared. The music stores have disappeared. So while I was doing that, everything was changing to the digital age.
Right.
But that's how it got started. So it wasn't that I started out saying I'm going to be a comedian, or I always knew I had it. I didn't really pay any attention to it. It's just, you know, the gift of gab. When you know what you know and you're confident in front of people, speaking in front of people, I just do what I do. And that's how I look at it. I just do what I do, and then I go home.
Amen.
Go home feeling
Amen.
Good, and they go home feeling good. And it's like, man, that's a win-win situation right there.
So
I haven't always known, and I didn't select to be a comedian. I never, ever looked at that that way. But since I decided to make it a career and not an expensive hobby, I decided that I would just prefer to just be a clean comedian, because it's more fun for me that way. Because I also didn't come up in a household that we were cussing every other word and all of that, so I have to talk about what's familiar to me. So I have to speak the language that I'm familiar with, and that was a no-cussing format. So that's why I've chosen for it to just be clean.
Well, I tell you what, Miss T, we salute you. Yes, we do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before we get the discussion going, guys, here's another one of Miss T's clips. You're going to love this too. Cadillac door.
Part of the reason that I'm working now is to repair the door to his Cadillac that just miraculously fell off when we were going to church, and he started singing, God be all thy praise, Jehovah, child. I went, wow! It was a good thing I was in this seat there, girl. I told my Satanian, it should have come, it was an act of God. That's what it was, my fault. That was an act of God that's covered under the palace.
Miss T, I love it. Miss T, you're nuts. You are nuts. So, yes, Bonafide Talk family, tonight's episode, you guys know what it is. I want the sex. I know I'm wrong. What do I do? Now, we're having fun while we're doing it, but make no mistake, this is a very serious issue for myself, Trinea, and also our panelist, Robin Manley, who is our panelist and relationship expert for tonight during this discussion. Ladies, let's start here. I'm going to start with what I consider to be, I guess for the lack of a better term, some devil's advocate, if you will, because this is some of the things that I'm seeing on internet sites and things that I've read and that type of thing. People believe that there is no real reference to premarital sex being wrong in the Bible. And I'm looking at something now on seedbed.com. In the Old Testament, sex before marriage leads to marriage. In the New Testament, we misinterpret, so they say, porneo, I guess is how you say it, as fornication, which we take to mean sex before marriage when supposedly that's clearly not the case. Ms. T, let's have you start. What do you think about what's going on and what I just stated that my research is indicating?
Well, people always are quick to want to reference something in the Bible to try to justify why they can do it or shouldn't do it. And mm-hmm. some things are just not that cut and clear. It's just not that black and white. And so when it's not black and white, then we can justify our own reasoning for it as if
right.
we can try to get away with it. But ultimately, it has to be a personal decision. I have a group called Celibacy Confessions, and just mm-hmm. this week I had a gentleman have a question. He said, I'm really struggling to be celibate. He said, I'm used to having sex 365 anytime I want to, but now my fiance wants us to be celibate. He said, but I'm in the music industry and I'm around that environment all the time, and I'm really struggling. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, okay, that's half the problem. My first question was to him, okay, so if you're practicing celibacy and are engaged, to me that means that your natural progression would be to marriage. So I asked him, I said, so do y'all plan to get married? And he didn't answer that part. He was just talking about how hard it is to be celibate, how he doesn't like it, but he's just doing it for her. And I said, Lord, he won't be successful unless you touch him, because that's the only way I could have been successful, because you had to do it. And every day I had to say, Lord, you have to do this, because if you don't, it ain't going to get done. I don't want to do this. I love sex. I don't want to do this.
Right. So I had to
give myself a pep talk, but I've learned that you can't stay in that environment either, trying to win. So
mm-hmm,
you can't
mm-hmm.
stay surrounded by the romance novels. I had to quit reading those. And I loved reading romance novels, but I had to throw all my books out, and I had to quit buying them.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
And so you have to totally change your environment as well, and because otherwise if he's praying for help and he's still in that environment, it's almost like you're just wasting water, wasting your prayers, because you're still in that environment, so you're not gaining any strength because you're already weak, and you're keeping yourself weak because you're still around it and you're being teased by it. So one day you're going to blow up, and hopefully it doesn't cost you the penitentiary when you do. You know what I'm saying? Meaning that you absolutely, you know, you rape somebody or you be too forceful or whatever and give somebody unwanted attention. So you just, you kind of have to be careful, but you got definitely got to change your environment. And then it has to be because you want it to be to, celibate for whatever reason it is. If it's for to take a break from dating, whether you give it 6 months, I gave it 6 months, and the Lord turned it into a, it feel like a vocation. But 17 years, yeah, I was like, oh wait a minute, I was just taking a break. Wait a minute, you know. So you have to set a goal. So at least I did set a goal, and I met my goal once those 6 months was up. But I was just still busy with living, raising kids, taking care of church issues, other ministry things grew out of that. So I just forgot about it. I just forgot about it. You know, just kept living. So, and I never saw anything either in the Bible about being celibate. I knew what fornication meant. That means that you're having sex with somebody and you're neither one of you are married. Whether you married to each other, put it that way. If you're not married to each other, that's fornication. So it doesn't matter if the other person is married or single. That's still what we're not supposed to do. So, but when you also let the Holy Spirit teach you, there's just some things he'll just give you nuggets that aren't in the words per se, but it's for your life. And,
right.
And there's always going to be a nugget for us individually for our life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Rob, I'm going to ask that you take this next one, okay? Another research piece that I found, Robin. 1 Corinthians 7, when it talks about virginity in a woman was highly valued before marriage.
Yes.
What I was gonna say. Go ahead, Miss T.
I was gonna remind us, okay, when Mary became pregnant with Jesus and Joseph found out about it because he thought that she was a virgin. She was, but he didn't know.
Right.
He was getting ready to put her away because he thought that she was no longer virgin. She's pregnant. The angel had to comfort Joseph and let him know that she's carrying a baby by the Holy Spirit, God himself, because he was going to put her away because being a virgin, was that's what they wanted. You were supposed to be a virgin. And then we think about the stories that we read in the Bible on the wedding night, when they would commemorate the wedding with sex, they would put a white sheet up under her. And
right.
If she was a virgin, you know, she would bleed. And the fathers would take those sheets and fold them up and save them. So if the husband come back later and said, you know, your daughter was not a virgin, he has that sheet with the blood as evidence that she was a virgin. So we can't
right.
say that we may not have read, like Lady T said, you don't see the word celibate in there, but you know what fornication means.
Absolutely.
And the Bible
Absolutely.
Even, and you were referencing, in 1 Corinthians, all through 1 Corinthians, verses 7, it was telling us in chapter 7, basically it was saying remain single, but if you could not contain yourself, get married. It didn't say have sex and now you're married. Get married if you couldn't contain yourself. And that containment meant if you felt like you just wanted to get you some, you had to get married. That's in the Bible. It tells a man not to touch a woman. Basically, and we real talk here on Bonafide. So I'm gonna just say the Bible tells a man, don't get that woman hot. Don't get her ready
there
for if she's not your wife. So it's referenced all through the Bible. Lady T said it best. People make up excuses for what they want to do. They'll find their answer in the Bible. Like the Bible said, this meme said that it's better to marry than to burn. Well, get married first.
Right. Yeah. That brings me to my next question, ladies. And whoever wants to tackle first, please feel free to jump in. That passage in the Bible that says it's better to marry than to burn. Now, I trust that the three of us know differently. But for those of us that may be a little confused on that, should we, if we become horny, if you will, with someone and say, oh, I just got to have him, yada, yada, let's get married, and then you do what you do, and then you divorce?
No. Absolutely. You know, that sounds real good, but, you know, you're going to show up and end up burning in. You're going to be burning up with a whole lot of stuff you don't know. But, you know, I think that was really to
emphasize the importance of sex being between a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we didn't feel like it was all that important, as you know, just have sex with anybody, then they're going to do what they're already doing it. But I think
right.
that brings out how important it was to God for you to be married first. It wasn't just say God, because most people are not going to just marry anybody for sex.
Right. But, you know, we were talking about those people that like as we just attested to, about different persons that try to take biblical scriptures and run with it to try to justify what they're doing. And, you know, to be honest with you, that is something that I was torn with some years ago when I was still, quote, unquote, out there, you know, doing the fornication thing. You know, I'm like, well, God, I know I'm wrong. And, you know, I have this urge that I can't control. Am I supposed to marry this man to be in your good graces? You know, and it's really not a gray area when you think about it. I think that goes back to what Trinelle was saying earlier. You know, when you take the time and you let the Holy Ghost teach you and you follow the basic mm-hmm. biblical principles of Christian living, then you find that you don't run into situations like that. And Ms. T, you mentioned a valid point earlier. Run. Stay away from those situations that are going to get
mm-hmm.
you in trouble. You know, those toxic
yes,
persons,
yes.
places, and things
yes.
that remind you of the boom, boom, oochie coochie, what have you. Run from that. It says flee from fornication. You know, and there was a Christian brother of mine in church today at Excel Fellowship that was talking about not necessarily sex, but the influence that certain songs had on him. You
right.
know, it's making
yeah.
him think crazy things, too. You know what I'm saying? So, Ms. P, what is your take on the media and the influence of people going out here getting their groove on and they're all wrong?
I'd like to add to the last question before I answer that one.
Absolutely.
When I have always interpreted that scripture about it's better to marry than to burn, because we can burn with desire and
mm-hmm.
idolize, and it can take over us so much that that's all we think about. And
that's
and
it.
So I wonder if that's why most of the time when I get inbox inquiries from this men, or when we women get inbox inquiries from these men, they send us these penis pictures. First of all,
God.
And same introduction, and I'm thinking, I already know where you are. You're burning with lust because you're keeping yourself in that environment. And then when they ask questions like, well, do you masturbate? And it's like, why do you need to know that? Well, I do. Okay, thank you. Then I know our conversation is going to be short. So I already know what you're coming with, but I also know that I can't relate to you because you're in a place that we can't communicate because I really
right,
can't
right.
see your vision and I don't want to go in your vision and you definitely can't see mine. And you will burn with lust and you'll never be satisfied. So even if you were to marry, depending on who you marry, it still may not be enough because you're going to be projecting on her the people you see, the other images that you see that are really do it for you, whether it be from the media, the celebrities in the media, or whether it be from porn that you're probably watching, you know, so you really can't accept her for her because you're busy trying to convert her into something, a fantasy that you have. So
exactly.
You're burning.
Absolutely, that you are. I love that interpretation of burning, yes.
To make you do things that you wouldn't normally do because you're not being, you're totally being led by the flesh. And that's a dangerous place for any of us to be in God or outside of God. It's a dangerous place for us to be in. So when it says that
mm-hmm.
we will burn with lust, that's what it means because if you let that lust overtake you and that's all you desire and crave and talk about, well, God, when you act it out, you'll be just unstoppable.
Absolutely.
You know, when the minute you feed that flesh that first time, it's over.
yeah, it's over. Exactly. It's like you don't know what you're missing when you're not doing, but once you get that knack, it's a done deal. Absolutely. Robin, you wanted to follow up?
Exactly. I wanted to just follow up with you're exactly right, and that's why a lot of men, I'm going to say a lot of men try to break Christian women. I got so frustrated with all these guys kept sending me inbox messages. Now, I got a few pictures of some time ago. I don't get those anymore. Because I told one guy, this is actually laughable. You know, if I was out there, you would just tell me that I was wasting my time. I'm going to be good rest of the show, I promise. Good.
I am done. I'm done.
But you know, lady, that's what they really hope to do. They hope that if they can get us that one time, they think that they're going to keep us off track. And I can be real here. You know, when I said I was married for 15 years, so I was used to having it whenever I wanted, well, whenever he would come home. But anyway, I was used to that. Then when I got divorced and now I'm lonely, I didn't know how to deal with that urge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we make our little mistakes, you know. But the thing about it is, being a Christian, and I don't knock people. I mean, I've talked to so many women who still living with their boyfriend, and, you know, I understand. But like I told them, you know, change is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But with me, because I knew what was in my heart then, and that was to please God, when it happened at one time, trust and believe, dude won't gonna fool me no more. I ain't coming back. Because, you know, that's what I tell people. A mistake is something you're not going to keep doing over and over again. That's a habit.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I made a mistake and I didn't go back because I knew more than anything I wanted to please God. And I made a promise to myself. I said, no more, no more. The next man that touched me will be my husband.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So what I'm hearing from you, ladies and gentlemen, whomever, that I see you guys in the chat room. I love you. Thank you for showing up. I see you folks on the switchboard. Much love to you. If there's anyone out there in Bonafide Talk land that has a question or comment or would like to contribute to tonight's discussion, feel free to dial now, 347-327-9688 and press 1. Okay, what I'm hearing from you ladies is really similar to an encounter what I had with a friend of mine who combats drugs, okay? You have to stay away from persons, places, and things, and also watch out for what you allow to stimulate your mind with. It really comes down to a decision that the individual decides to make. Are you going to live for me or are you going to live for God? Bottom line, amen.
Absolutely.
Here's another clip, guys. Absolutely. Good sis from comedian Miss T.
One minister had a stroke and his church was, you know how we do, we just always want to give somebody a chance to be acknowledged, especially if they've been sick a while, you know, because we miss them and, you know, and so they acknowledged his minister and gave him a chance to speak and he didn't have all his speech back. And so he stood there and he was recording what the Lord told Joshua about, stand courageous, be of good courage. You will have good sense. In everything, Lord, I want good sense. Good sense. The word is success. If you know they didn't have a stroke and don't completely have all their speech, it is appropriate to just have them stand up, acknowledge them, and ask them to sit down. They're not ready for talking yet. They're not ready. Yeah, I do too. What good is this? Anyway, you know, last shoot.
Miss T. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to it live right now with our featured guest, author, Christian comedian, Trenea Prosser, and also our panelist and relationships experts, Robin Manley. Now, we touched into marriage, okay? We're talking about people's perception of marriage. Now, this is something I won't call the group out because I have much respect for the person that created the group, but there was something in this particular group. It was a question that was posed, what is marriage? Now, of course, we have some skeptics or some devil's advocates or whatever in that group that said that marriage was man-made, that marriage is between the person and God. Ms. T., what do you think?
Well, I read Genesis 1 and 1 all the way through the resolutions. And And my Bible tell me, that God instituted marriage because it's a covenant. God honors covenant. So when you, and he blesses covenant. So it's, yes, between you and God, and in my case, a man bless him when you fix his GPS, Jesus, but it's a covenant relationship. And that's the only way God's going to really bless and honor his word, because God, everything God promises us, some things we have to do, and we have to be in the right to get them. And we can't just do everything and just be blasé about the blessings of God and expect him to just keep his word when we don't keep ours, because Amen. If we're not in covenant, we won't get the blessings that are promised us.
Wow.
And being in covenant just
Amen.
Means being in obedience and lining up with what God wants us to do. We do what he likes, and we don't like what he don't like. So,
absolutely.
So when we're in covenant with him, that's really what the marriage is. It's a covenant. And when you are protected under covenant, you get more blessings. You get more blessings when you do things his way. And that's why men don't understand when they say when you find the wife, that means when you have found a lady that you like, you've prayed about her, and God has given you the green light, because God has already told you what your assignment is and how she's going to fit in, because he'll give you the blueprint. He'll give you everything you need, okay? So when you find, you've made a decision, you've been in prayer, you've been in consecration, you've had all your brothers pray for you to make sure you got the green light. When you find that wife and when she say yes, then your life is favored. It's not before. It's only after you find the wife, not while she's your girlfriend, not while she's your fiance. Once y'all made a covenant, then that's when your blessings come.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Amen.
And Robin, will you take that further? That was superbly said, wonderfully done, Ms. T. Will you take it further? The marriage piece, okay? Well, I think we need clarity in that. I think the question that was posed in this particular group is, what defines the marriage? Is it a covenant, as just Ms. T just said, between the man, the woman, and God, or is it that paper stamp?
It is the covenant between the man, the wife, and God.
Yeah.
But it also, if you think about this, if man created marriage, why did God create the writing of a divorce? What do you
Amen.
Need a divorce from if there is no marriage?
There you go.
If all marriage is simply having, you have sex with somebody and now that's my wife, then you don't need a piece of paper to say she's no longer your wife. Stop having sex with her and let her go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I like that. Super, super. Excellent. Excellent. Now, I have another question for you. No diss to Steve Harvey. I love Steve Harvey. Love you, bruh. Hope to have the opportunity to meet you. In fact, I know I will. His 90-day rule.
Oh,
Ms.
Lord.
T, what do you think about that? What do you think about that 90-day rule?
Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, not a problem. Well, if I remember correctly, I read that book a long time ago, but this is what I say, 90, 120, 180, however many days it takes you to get to the altar and marry her, that's how many days it needs to be. I just believe that. First of all, if I'm a Christian woman and I'm dating a man who's trying to get me in the bed in 90 days, God didn't send him. Because God is not going to send some man to lose you. Now, I understand urges. We both may have urges or whatever. But if that man is for you, if he's a good, godly man, he's going to protect your virtue. He's not going to try to break you down. So now, even for those, you know, not everybody say we understand that, but what happens usually when they break that 90-day rule, like my pastor always said, and I like, he shoot it straight. He said, women, men see you as a challenge. And a lot of times once they get you, the challenge is over. So we need to start challenging ourselves. As we say at our church, keep it locked until you get that rock. No ring,
I like
nothing.
That.
You know, no bed, no bed. say, when a man enters you, in the Bible, he, you know, when they say when two flesh come together, they are one, you are creating a soul tie with a man who may not end up being your husband. That's
there
why you're sleeping with Steve thinking about John, because you created a soul tie with John, and John didn't end up being your husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we miss it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think that we really understand what we're doing when we engage in sex with people. Don't
I
you,
sure do.
Not you, you plural, ladies and gentlemen, don't you realize that the person that you sleep with, you're sleeping with every other person that individual has been
yes.
with, okay? And whatever
yes.
demonic forces that they have surrounded themselves with or have entered into them, guess what? You're fighting those demons
Transfer.
Too. So then when
nah.
you find yourself in your situation where your mind is messed up, he doesn't want you anymore, what he does want you is with booty call time, and you find yourself going crazy, where is he at, where is she at, why don't they want me, yada, yada. That's because you've had sex with somebody, baby, that you've had no business having sex with to begin with. That wasn't your husband, baby. That wasn't your wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
And one of the things I would like to add, Lady T hit on it, basically saying, you know, get out of that environment that keeps setting you up. I always call it making provisions for the flesh. We need to stop telling the devil how to fight us. Don't be saying, oh, Lord, a man with a fire by the old God that he just turned me on. What do you think the devil going to send to you tomorrow? 10 million fire by We tell him we need to keep our mouth closed sometimes. Then you tell him, oh, God. No, Lady T was saying she can't read the romance book. I'm writing a romance book, but it's going to be clean. You can read that one. But I agree with her. You can't make provisions for the first stop dating in the house. And my pastor used to tell us, and I remember this so good, he said, when we're single and we having Uncle John over here today, y'all know all them uncles you have when you're dating these kids, like, Lord, this family's just so big. And
right.
You're dating all these men, and you having sex with these men, he said, you're bringing that spirit of iniquity into your home. So then you shocked that your 17-year-old daughter is pregnant? You
right.
brought that inherited iniquity into the house. I tell people, don't date in the house. If you can't kiss a man good night without getting wet, leave him alone. Don't kiss him. Shake
Absolutely.
His hand.
Absolutely.
You know, we make provisions for the flesh. And then we
that
don't understand.
Do.
The Bible tells us that with temptation, God doesn't tempt us. But he said with temptation, when it comes, he gives us a way of escape. Sometimes we just got to listen. I've been in a situation where I had a way to escape. But see, I was spiritually immature at that time. I didn't
right.
know what was happening when the roommates kept knocking on the door every 5 minutes. I was in college then. That was
mm-hmm.
my way of escape. Get up and leave. Pull them
mm-hmm.
pants up, pull them that dress down and leave. But I didn't know that. And that's
mm-hmm.
where we have to start. We tell people just don't have sex. That okay, we in our mind, we're not going to have it. But we don't go any further than that. We don't want to talk too much about it. You know, the church folks safe when it comes to sex. They're like, ain't nobody having sex. But grandma got 17 children.
Right.
We don't want to talk about it. But the truth is
right.
we need to tell these young girls, look for that. You know, if you get yourself in a situation and you just realize I made a mistake, I shouldn't be here, pray to God. He'll give you a way of escape. You just got to be able to, when he give it to you, use it. Can't
Absolutely.
Keep going in there.
Absolutely. We have a caller, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Hello.
The number ending in 9629. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Hello, Evangelist. This is Andre St. Louis.
Hello,
Andre.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. What's your contribution to tonight, Andre?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that subject can be also tied to a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I mean, to the ladies, if a man cares enough, he's respectful enough, and he loves you enough, he'll wait for you.
Absolutely.
You know,
Absolutely.
After he's heard your story, yeah, I mean, if you're that important, he'll wait for you.
Well, you know, Andre, I am so glad that you joined us tonight at Bonafide Talk, because I was in search of a male panelist, like Robin and Trinea being our wonderful feature guests, because we've been talking about women issues quite a bit. Well, quite natural because we're women. But from a male's perspective, how do men fight the urge? It's rumored. I don't know. And according to my good friend, Evangelist Rod Edwards, it's just in a man to want to hit it and run. So if that's the case, is it true that it's harder for men to fight sexual urges than it is women?
Well, I couldn't say. It just depends on how important and personal it is to him.
It also
has to do with, just like the women, it's the environment. You know, if you don't put yourself in that situation, it won't be as easy.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're reaching out to the fellas. I want to hear some input from you. If there are any other gentlemen out in Bonafide Talk right now, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. We want to get your spin on this, about the different challenges that you have run across in your walk to attempt to be celibate, or what would you like to know about how to become celibate? That's another good topic to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into another quick commercial break. Here is Simply Dre with Guys, Are You Listening?
Thank you. white crime. We say that we're not crazy, but we're losing our mind. God put us on this earth so we can be of some help. But you can't help nobody if you can't help yourself. Are you listening, brother?
Absolutely beautiful. Wow. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now. We have with us featured guest, author, Christian comedian, Jhenaya Prosser, and we also have the lovely panelist and relationships expert, Robin Manley. You know, Robin, you touched on something a moment ago about the woman with the 17 children. Just from your experience with various churches and in your Christian walk, do you believe that there is enough talk about the importance of abstinence?
No, I don't. Now, and I should say that at my church, we do talk about no sex. Because like I said, we were quoting stuff, no ring, nothing, no bed. But in the churches that I've been to before, it's almost like anything pertaining to sex is taboo. Like you can't mention sex in church or the absence of sex. You just expect people know that it is the right thing to do.
Hold on just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear some noise in the background. I'd really appreciate if you put your phone on mute because we can hear everything that's going on in the background. I love you. Go ahead, Robin.
But what I was saying is that I believe some churches just assume that we should know better. And that's why when we see so many young girls that pop up pregnant, you know, people looking surprised. Why are you looking surprised? You haven't talked to these young girls. If grown women who know better cannot resist sexual temptations, how do we think our 17, 18, 19-year-old girls are going to do it if we're not talking to them about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ms. T, what is your take on this? Are our church, are our ministers talking enough about abstinence in today's time?
No, but how can you talk about something you don't practice and you've never lived? Well, if a pastor's been married 30, 40 years, how can he talk about being celibate or abstinence? Because that's something he's never done. He's been married all his life. And his wife the same way, but they don't really put any emphasis on letting abstinence be taught in the church either, when it needs to start at the age of the 10, 11, 12-year-olds, because that's where they're starting to form their ideas about possibly marriage and what they want in a boyfriend, because they're hearing their aunties and people at the beauty shop talk about what a man should be having. And so they're already at 12, you're programming your ideas on what kind of man you want when you ain't even tall enough to kiss nobody.
Exactly. And not only that, a lot of them not going to talk on it because, see, it's not the children that's going to get offended by it. It's the mamas who out there having sex with the man they ain't married. It's the men who running through the church, having sex with all these women in the church. Some of these pastors do not touch subjects because they know it's going on in their church. And if they start talking about it, it's going to run the people away. Because some people, church is just what they do on Sunday. They're not going because they're trying to change and do better and raise their standards, you know, their standard of righteousness. They ain't trying. It's just what they do on Sunday.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate. You know what? I was just about to say almost the exact same thing. It has come down to what's going to keep up the church roll and what's going to keep the tie plate rolling. And I'm sorry, that's just what it's come to overall, which is also why this is a subject that we did, I believe, with Andre Beam last week on church attendance dropping. you know, we're not being taught the necessary things to fight the demon. You know, we'll come to church, we foam in the mouth, we shout, we participate in all these things, but we are still broken, and we wonder why all hell has broken loose in the house. We haven't been taught anything. We're not taught keep your legs closed. We're not taught the value of keeping your penis in your pants. You know, these are things that are not touched on. And glory be to God, by the grace of God, I'm grateful to God because he allowed me to present this platform, Bonafide Talk, so that we can talk about these things in a church setting. Amen. You know, and I think about a while back, Pastor Summerfield of Word of God Christian Fellowship, I think is the name of the church. I was a member there for a brief while. I had never heard a sermon preached the way this man preached it. And to be honest with you, I wasn't receptive to it. But you talk about bona fide talk. This man was bona fide talk. Maybe a little bit too colorful, but the point he was making was keep your legs closed. You know, condoms burst. And then you wonder why you got a baby. And, you know, talking to the women, you know, all men want to do is to get in their hole, and then after he's done, I mean, he was, like, very raw, you know. And I wanted to give a shout-out real quick to Pastor Summerfield for your rawness. I wasn't receptive to it at the time, brother, because I wasn't saved and I didn't understand. But I thank you, man of God, for keeping it bona fide talk.
Amen.
Bonafide Talk family, I see you in the chat room. I see you on the switchboard. Love you, love you. If anyone has a question or comment or would like to participate in tonight's discussion, feel free to press 1 if you're already on the switchboard. Or if you're in the chat room, baby, dial 347-327-9688. Miss T, you mentioned something earlier that kind of rung a bell for me. You said no to the 30-year marriage piece about how they can't talk about something that they've never had to deal with. But even a 30-year marriage, I'm thinking at some point they had to learn some type of restraint, or if nothing else, to talk about how they combat adultery. Because rumors have it, for instance, that preachers and married people are targeted the most in terms of people always flinging it in their faces. What do you think?
I think that when people have been married for 40 years, 30 years, 40 years, you're correct. I'm sure that they have had some health issues have come up that they've had to find ways to continue to stay married. So it's what are you committed to? I actually have an aunt and uncle who's had two bypass heart surgeries. And the second time he had it, he was scared to have sex. I don't know why, but he was scared to have sex. So that meant that part of their marriage had to cease, but they went to counseling to find other ways to stay intimate.
Okay.
So they learned to really build intimacy in their marriage. And I know that that's something she's missing because God called him home 5 years ago just unexpectedly. And,
wow.
To imagine at her age at 63 to meet a man that age who would know how to be intimate with you without having sex with you, that I feel like that's a needle in the haystack because that's what I'm looking for, and I can't find it, and I'm 52. I don't see it in these men. It's not in these men at all. So it's like, Lord, you know, my white dress is behind the door. If the Lord called me home, y'all going to put me in it and put me in my casket and celebrate, and I'm going on. But
amen.
So I understand, you know, so you have to be committed to your marriage because it's not based on that man or that wife, because as we know, as we get older, things happen, our health changes. What do you do when that part of your life is taken away when you are married? So are
Amen.
You committed to
the
marriage?
Amen. Amen. Robin, relationships expert and panelist for tonight. Let's talk about those urges. Me personally, I take on the approach of running. I make sure that I don't allow myself to get entrapped in certain persons, places, things, and I watch what I look at and I watch what I listen to. What is your method of fighting the urge for premarital sex?
Well, you know, for a long time, I guess because guys just tend to just turn me off. I guess it was the ones that was coming at me. They were a turn off anyway, so it became easy because a lot of times I wasn't just turned on just to be turned on. You know, I don't just sort of think, oh, God, I just wish I had something tonight. That's usually not me. I'm a very visual person. So the guys that were coming at me, I wasn't attracted. And at one time, you know, I was all these guys, and I ain't putting nobody down. I was going into Walmart one day, and this guy just stopped. It was probably about a couple of weeks ago, and he just stopped and stood and shook his head. He said, oh, my God, I would just love to have some of you. And so I'm walking into Walmart. I said, girl, why do you always let me unattractive men talk to me? And before I could get it out of my mouth, I said, I guess that's how I stay sober. And I'm being real, and I've told my pastor this before, and a lot of times when I hear women talking about their celibate, it's easy to be celibate when don't nobody want you.
Right.
And I said, well, how you going to handle that thing when somebody do? So I started being a little thankful that the ones that, you know, that might interest me don't bother me right now. And I do some of what you said, you know, in terms of, if I know I'm a romance person. If I'm watching that movie and he's rubbing her back and he's stroking her hair and doing all this kind of stuff, you know, that's the kind of thing that I want. So I know I have to quickly turn the TV and I'm gonna go and pray. Okay, God, you know, I gotta be on it quick. You know,
right.
Letting all them thoughts start building in your head, and then all of a sudden you can start imagining you and him, and you got to be on it quick about casting those spirits down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
find
wait. And like I said, don't make provisions for the flesh is no good, dirty, and nasty. It was made from dirt.
Right. Amen.
And it's
going
to take
Amen.
Every opportunity to go there if you live. So you gotta have it under control quick. I'm now, sister girl, you ain't going nowhere, you know.
You know what? You make a valid point.
I'm funny with it, you know.
Yeah, but it's the truth. But you find yourself in a situation, you're pulling out that black book, turning numbers. That's the truth. Miss T, you've been celibate for 17 years. How have you done it, baby?
How?
Yeah.
Prayer?
What? I hear you. Now, before we go any further, and I'm going to be real, for some, prayer is not enough. What do you tell them?
That's true.
Well, it's not just that, but, I mean, I've just been busy with ministries, and God is just, it seems like my assignments would change because of all the gifts God has given me. My seasons, I'll have like 6 months of just singing engagements, and then I'll have 6 months of just emceeing engagements, and then I'll have 6 months of just comedy engagements. So I'm just stays busy. I'm just, you know, so I don't really think about it, and I don't focus on it. I definitely don't let it just be my focus, because then I don't want to idolize it, and then I still miss God because I'm just wanting to be married so bad that it's like, Lord, no matter what you do, I want this man here. No, Lord, I want the best that you have for me, because you haven't put me on hold this long for nothing.
Amen.
You know
Amen.
What I'm saying?
Amen.
So I have
I agree.
To, you know,
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've just stayed busy. So it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't intentional to begin with. It was just supposed to be a break from dating so I could get myself together. But the Lord, I see how he made it together. So he'd have to be some hell of a guy, excuse my French, but he'd have to be some hell of a guy for me to even consider him being in my life because of where I am now and knowing what I know and knowing what God has for me. And what my assignment is, he'd have to be a hell of a guy.
I know,
and
that's right. You heard that, fellas. You heard that, fellas. You better be one
so
hell of a guy. Yes, Lord. And that came straight bona fide talk. Amen. You know, it's confession time for me. It has been a journey for me, ladies and gentlemen, to fight the urge of fornication, okay? Because I'm naturally, you know, I'm trying not to be too graphic.
I got you.
But I've made a decision that no longer will I allow myself to make an idol god out of a man.
Mm-hmm.
No longer will I make an idol god out of sex. I'm going to appreciate myself more. My focus, ladies and gentlemen, for those that are battling the urge, my focus began to be me, initially. Mm-hmm. It began to be me and what was going to keep Falana healthy mentally and physically. Let's start with the mentally. There are diseases out here. There are diseases called AIDS that will kill you and herpes that stay with you forever and probably some diseases out here that they haven't even told us about yet. So that in itself should be enough to warrant keeping the legs closed and keeping the ding-ding in the pants. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I got to...
And not to mention downward
Okay. Okay. Exactly. I got to a point, ladies and gentlemen, that I realized that I was valuable. I won't allow myself to fall back into that low self-esteem situation. And then there came God, who was there the entire time, but I didn't know it, you know, all twisted, caught up in that type of thing. But then here comes God, and he comes into my life, and I embrace him. And so much like you, Robin, and you, Miss T, my priorities changed. It became about ministry, my family, and me. And I think that that's pretty much the ticket for it. Once you realize your worth, whether you are a man or a woman, once you realize your worth and the value of what's in between your pants, I think then that would be instrumental in helping people remain celibate until that precious one does come along. I want to reach out to my brother.
Can I add one other thing?
Absolutely. You go ahead.
What I wanted to add when I mentioned something about those soul ties, even if you are out there and you're dating and you decide, I'm going to stay sober, we dating, we ain't going to have no sex, whatever. If you don't make it, a lot of times it's not as bad. Y'all ain't arguing with each other. You ain't ducking each other. You ain't hiding each other. You still can say, hey, sister, brother in Christ. You don't have all of that built up because there was no sexual exchange. It eliminates a lot of frustration.
Amen. Amen. I like that. I'm going to reach back to Andre. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said, and a lot of pressure because I think when people have dates, she's waiting on, I wonder is he going to try me. He's sitting there going, I wonder will she reject me if I kiss her. But if you can have it on a platonic plateau to where you can, you know that you don't have, there's no pressure, you can enjoy each other better, then you can really get to know each other for who they are, and you can see them
absolutely
for who they are. So
that's true. And before you drop the pants or the panties or whatever, you want to know what you're working with because you don't want to run the risk in developing that horrible soul tie that'll leave you crazy, you know,
or you catch
something. Because I think we've had a couple of episodes about this before, ladies, about relationships and do we really want them? You know, like that saying goes, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck.
But
Don't ignore the yellow signs. The yellow comes before red, ladies and gentlemen. So now I want to reach back to this caller here. Caller with the number ending in 9629. Is that you, Andre?
That's me.
Hey.
Yeah, so I kind of voluntarily dropped myself.
It's all good, my brother. It's all good. What is your question or comment?
Well, I getting back to, I mean, as far as the male perspective and the way that some men are the way I am, it's kind of hard for me, you know, at this day and age and point because, you know, I like all that romance and coupling and all that kind of stuff. So I have to be careful with who I friend because, you know, they can – you know, women can easily get attached. And, you know, I mean, just realize that, you know, you just can't have everybody.
That's right.
And neither do you want everybody.
That's right.
You know, people have to have standards and principles that they live by. And, you know, you have to be able to live up to those, and they have to be able to live up to yours, so.
Absolutely. And, ladies and gentlemen, for the record, those standards that my brother Andre was just talking about, the standard that we live by, the standard for Christian living is the Bible itself. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. you know, we have so many different Christian skeptics and people that want to, you know, take the Bible and change it to suit their lifestyles and whatnot. But when it comes down to it, you know, the Bible is what it is. It is the Word of God. That is the principle and the basis of our Christian walk. And it's a perfect GPS for just living. You know, we have such less headache when we go by God. Amen. Miss T, we're about to close up shop. I want to thank you for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. Baby, you did that thing. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the invite.
So now, what is your closing statement tonight for I Want the Sex, I Know I'm Wrong, What Do I Do?
Wait for the sex. You know, when Beyonce came out with that song about all the single ladies, if you liked it, you should have put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just wait for your ring.
Amen.
Be happy serving while you're waiting. Serving means continue to do what you're passionate about doing. Continue to serve God's people in the assignment that God has given you, because that's where your king is going to see you. He's going to be seeing you in action, because he can't go see you while you're sitting on your butt being mad or pouting. He's going to catch you while you're in action, because you are exactly what somebody has been praying for.
Amen.
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 See you. He's got to see you in action, because his spirit got to hook up with your spirit. Or at least that's the way I look at it. I'm waiting for the man whose my spirit leaps like Elizabeth did, like John the Baptist did in his mama's womb when he met Mary and Jesus in their womb. That's what I'm looking for. Then I know that that's my connection. So I have
Amen.
To be about my Father's business for that to happen. I can't be just sitting at home pouting because I ain't got nobody, ain't got no date, don't know what a date is. Ain't been on once in 1945. But so you just have to continue to serve and be excited about what you're doing, because your passion is going to draw that person, because he's looking for that in his life. So don't miss out by giving God half of anything. Give God all. Give God your excellence. Always give God your excellence. So continue to serve with passion.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And Robin, your closing remark, please.
I agree with what she said. Get busy serving. I'm trying to think of the name. Man name is T. Jake's son-in-law. He's married to Sarah. Robert Terry. This ways to find your soulmate. And Lady T, you hit on it. One of the things he was talking about is your purpose. Your purpose, his purpose, are somehow tied together. He may help you with yours. You may help him with his. And if you're waiting for that person, and you're on the right person, you just don't want to get involved with any and everybody. So wait on it. You don't want a little piece of you with this person, that person, and you don't want other people in your spirit. When you meet your, and you said, let them see you. Just like Boaz saw Ruth out there serving. Everybody's talking about their Boaz, but they ain't willing to do what Ruth was doing.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of our show, Bonafide Talk. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for showing up. We appreciate you. We love you. My closing remark for tonight, learn your worth. And as always,
keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk. Keep God first in your walk. Baby, that's Bonafide Talk.